Are we ready to hear the word? Are we ready to turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Today we have a text, Hebrews 12, from verse 3. And it's such a blessing and a joy to be here with you. Last week, Sunday, a few of us were in Finland, and the weather in Finland is like this weather, so we got it all refreshed in the old winter times of New England and Finland and Alaska and Greenland. Yeah, our new state. Okay, so then we want to say congratulations to the Ravens for winning yesterday. Yes, so many fans here. And then also, on a sad note, just for the fires in California, that we want to recognize that those people, dear people, are really going through troubled times. And keep them and the team in California, Manny, Harrison, and Molly, Dr. Chung, and Natalie, in our prayers. They're fine. I talked to Manny 2 days ago, and they are fine. But we see that on the news, and we really care about what we could do to help and just keep that in our minds. So, prayer. This text, Hebrews 12, I just picked this text prayerfully. I think it's the one the Lord wants to draw our attention to. So I will read it verse by verse, and we'll go through the scripture and make some points. Verse 3, consider him, and that's, of course, Jesus Christ, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. This is the ESV. Who endures from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So that is at the core of the text. I'll draw a picture for you. And this is God. And there's the reality of God, and then there is man and the reality that man lives in, and you could say he has a lot of various expressions in his life of good times and bad times. And he can grow, let's write down the two things, grow weary in life, and he can also be faint-hearted in life. Faint-hearted. Have you ever been faint-hearted? Okay. Have you felt like drawing back? Have you felt hurt, wounded, discouraged? Have you had enough trouble in your life where you just cannot even make decisions? Have you ever really got deeply discouraged? Maybe we could say it got under your skin, and it bothered me very deeply. I think that's Psalm 119, 148. Trouble and anguish has gotten a hold of me. And my prayer is that things will not, I like that little phrase, get under my skin and take me down. That things that can easily get under our skin and take us down. So what is it saying here? But that we are to consider Jesus Christ and what he faced when he was on the earth, that he endured hostility of sinners, that they went at him, that they attacked him, Psalm 109, that they wanted to tear him down. They wanted to destroy him. So we think of Jesus now. We think of him in our lives and what who God is and what God has done for us and his person. All right, so verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now, what does that mean? If I am a committed Christian in Nigeria and the Muslims are attacking my village, and I say, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim, and I defect, and I just give up on the struggle. I could not take my village being burned down, my family being killed, my house being burnt and destroyed, and me being killed. This has not happened to us, but it has happened to some of our sisters and brothers in Nigeria. They have been slaughtered. They have resisted sin. They have resisted the work of the devil. They have taken a stand. They have not neglected their calling. They have something deep inside. They have a persuasion. They have a conviction. That's what happened to Christ. What happened to Christ was that he resisted the sin, and so they destroyed him. But we have not yet resisted unto blood. But we have resisted to the point where our names are in the newspaper. Or we resisted to the point where people may not like us, or that gossip or accusation by words and slander. Maybe we have felt that, or that has happened in life. Some of it is just plain misunderstanding, but some of it is demonic. But how do we process this? Go to verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Now he's going to add another part. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Now we come to another thing here. This is sonship. Because you are a son, you may be kind of spanked. Yeah, because you're a son, your father may give you one of these talks. Because you're a son, you might get disciplined. Like, hey, son, you don't drive the car like that. Son, if you borrow the car, bring it back with gas in it. Son, park the car in the garage. Son, did you do your homework? Have you paid your bills? Son, why don't talk to your mother like that? Nobody in our house, you treat the women, your sisters, your mother in a proper way. Son, you are to be, I am instructing you, I am correcting you. Son, don't ever do that again. Son, sit down, I want to have a talk with you. And you have a talk, father and son. Now, I'm pretending like I'm that kind of father, but I don't think it went that way. But I'm acting it out good, aren't I? I'm doing a good job. Hey, that's the way it should be. Father knows best. Okay. Okay, verse 5. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when he reproved by him. Now, I like the game football, and I think there's a lot of elements to it, but I'm fascinated by the leadership element on a football team. I'm fascinated how a coach affects the team. I'm fascinated by how the quarterback or linebacker, how he can affect the team, how they have to they know the game, they have to be in the game, they have to have some passion in the game, and they cannot back off in some kind of self-pity, withdrawal, hiding, denying, becoming angry, the coach disciplined me, I quit, that kind of thing. So this is the idea here. He said, when you are reproved by him, don't quit. For verse 6, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now, I know this message sounds like maybe very masculine, okay, because football and direct conversation and everything, but it applies in all areas, young people, kindness, gentleness of God makes us great. Psalm 18, kindness and gentleness and so on. So verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to it is for discipline that you have to endure. You cannot quit. Now, many of us old-timers remember Dr. Stevens really making that point. Did he make that point or what? Yes. Now, not quit. I'm not a quitter. You're not a quitter. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Get some guts. G-U-T. Z, he spells it with a Z. Get some guts, and so on. And that's a very important, many times that resonated with me in my heart. Like, yes, that's how we have to live. Like, be heads up. And when we get hurt, and then, so look at this picture here. It looks like, how does it work? How does it work? So let's go to the main point of the message is in the context of the drawing is Job 26:14. We're going to maybe get back to Hebrews 12, but I think you got the theme of that text there in Hebrews 12, so you're okay. Now look at verse Job 26:14. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Be patient here with me, but I want to use this. Outskirts of his ways is, yeah, it's also translated edges of his ways. Like, these troubles are the outskirts or the edges of his ways. Why do we say? But because in the context, we see the physical world, boundary of waters, light and darkness, pillars of heaven tremble, by his power he stills the sea. We have this man, like here, within the world and the various troubles that he has, there is God, and there is the edges of his ways, What does it mean, edges of his ways? It's kind of like this, that the edges of God is the troubles in life. The edges of God, the loneliness of the human heart, the fears that are in man's life, the edges of his ways. Like God is in your world and he draws you by your trouble. Jeremiah 2, verse 19. The fact that people die is horrendous. It's terrible when someone we love dies. And you go, what is God doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? The problems that people have in love, well, the California fires. What is God doing? What is he doing? These are the edges of his ways. These are things that he does in the world to talk to us. Look at the next part of the verse. Is it there? Yeah. How small a whisper do we hear of him? He's whispering. What is he saying? He's saying, you can trust me. How can I trust you? My house is burned down. You can trust me. You can trust me. Now, when Jesus came, we see Jesus in the world like between God and man, and he's telling us, God is for you. God is with us. God cares about Israel. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew the peace I had for you. These prophets that came, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the words of the prophet, Hosea, it is like so fascinating because we see God loving Israel. But if Israel has joined himself to idols, leave him alone, Hosea said. But then chapter 11, Hosea says, how can I leave you, O Israel? I cannot leave you. I love you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I am God. Now here is the key. Here it is, the key. What about going from the edges of his ways into the heart of God? What about us finding who he is? Not simply what he does, but who he is. He is spirit, because it says in Hebrews 12, he is the father of spirits. The verse really is very key. We are spirit. God is the father of spirits. What's missing is that we are not in fellowship with God in spirit. That's why Christ said, when I go, I will send another, and he will guide you into all things. And he is like me. And he is another, but he's not going to be in a physical body like I have been, but he will go around the world and he will hear the cry of the prisoner. He will answer us. He will minister to us. He will reveal to us not the edges of his ways, but he will reveal to us the reality of his person. Because when your house burns down, you say, who is God? How can I find God? When a loved one dies young, how can that happen? Who is God? Do I want God? Job, what do you say? And he would say these things. Job 5:8, unto God I commit my cause, which does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Job 11:7, he has the quandary, the question, can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. How can we find out God? But here is the answer. The Spirit knows God. The Holy Spirit knows God, and of course he is God. And he searches the deep things of God. If you live on the edges of his ways, you may be very hurt and troubled, like the discipline or the trouble that a Christian might have when they are chastised by God. But you can also say, I am hurt, I am wounded, but I know who God is. He is the healer. That's Hosea 6. He has smitten, he is wounded, but he will bind us up. He will heal us. I will get hurt, but I will be healed. I will be comforted because God is the comforter. And he didn't comfort us just to make us comfortable. He comforted us so that we could be comforters for others. He is the one. Now, how do you go into the heart of God? If we could say it like this, here's a man, and he wants to know the spirit, the heart, the mind of God, the heart, the mind, the fellowship with God, the person of God, the nature of God, the fellowship with God. How can I be with God? Well, the good news is that he decided to be with you. Not that we know God, but we are known of God, Galatians chapter 4. God knows them that are his. God sent his Spirit into us. We are the children of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is Abba. This is the Aramaic word for dad. And it is in the present tense, it means that it's a habitual relationship where you cry out, Dad, to God. God is your father. When he chastises you, you can take the chastisement because you know his nature, that he loves me, that he's dealing with me, not according to my sin, but in Psalm 130, verse 4, if he dealt with us according to our sin, who could stand? But he deals with us according to his love and compassion. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 14, as a father pities his children, he knows our frame, that we are children. He knows our frame, that we are dust. He knows our frame, that we can't handle much. He knows our frame, that we get hurt easily. He knows our frame, and he pities us like a father pities his children. Let's look at chapter 26, verse 14 one more time. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, the edges of his ways. Now notice that, not of his person, but of his ways. There's a difference, right? Ways, the ways of God, the way he does things, ways, but his person is what gives us the stability. It's his person. Do you know Jesus? Song of Solomon 1, verse 2, it says, let him kiss me, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, of his. Now, the word mouth is also where we read that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of his mouth. We know in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, the Lord said, I led you in the wilderness so that you would learn that you don't live by bread only, but you live by every word that comes out of God's my mouth. And if you kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, it's the rabbis said this. They said that it means Let him kiss me with the kisses of his Torah. Torah is the Hebrew for the law, the five books of Moses. Kissing me with his word. Kissing me with my face in the pages of the Bible, of the doctrines that will reveal to me the mind and the heart of God. Kiss me with the Proverbs. Kiss me with the Psalms. And by the way, there's something beautiful about the Psalms, and that is that the Psalms allow us to be emotional. And this is a good word, I think. Emotion is an important part of our Christian life. And that we can cry, we can laugh, we can dance, we can rejoice, we can express ourselves, we can be hurt, we can shut down, we can be really very low, very weary, wasn't it? I'd be faint-hearted and weary in my life because of the fight of sin against me as a Christian. And the psalmist writes about it many times, Lamentations, many times. But then they often end on a good note. But I will trust him. But I hide in the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High. I found the secret place. What is this? This is where you and I survive life. It's God, and we are in the Spirit of God by the Word of God, kissing his mouth. He kisses us. And by the Holy Spirit who wrote the word, filling us, and we are knowing his person, so we can endure. We can endure. Let's look at Hebrews 12 to finish, and we can read this. I think it'll be clear to you as we just read it. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. You have to endure because of discipline. You have to not cave. You can cave, but rebound. You can get really sad and hurt, but your rebound will come. You will be healed. Watch it. Look at verse 7. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So expect discipline from God. Expect it and bear up in it. Endure it. Take it. Take a hit. Take a hit. Take another hit. Can you take a hit? I think many of you do, and you have, and we know this by many of you. You're amazing. Beside this, verse 9, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know, be in training, accept it, you'll end up in the Super Bowl, maybe. Be in training, maybe you'll accept it, and maybe you will graduate, maybe. Yeah, be in training and you will graduate, you'll be blessed, God will be with you, you'll be learning and growing in your faith. So for the moment, I don't like it, but it's going to be better for me. Verse 12, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Okay, let's have Pastor Eugene just walk over here. Slowly. Shoulders rolled forward, drooping hands way down low. Hands way down. Okay. Lift up and strengthen your weak knees. Now, are your knees weak right now? Okay, they're All right, get real low, okay? Now, that's how he's living. How is he living? He's hurt. He's wounded. He's discouraged. He's faint-hearted. He's ready to quit. He's thrown in the towel. He's done. He's neglecting. Don't talk to me about the wildfires in California. Don't talk to me about people's failures, loneliness, emptiness, not being married or being married, being unhappy, or children going bad, or money problems, or whatever. He cannot handle any. Can he minister to me? Hey. Can he minister? He cannot minister. He cannot. He's too occupied with himself. Does he know God? He wants to. But he hasn't had the fellowship to restore him. God wants to fill him with the Spirit, build him up, give him love and peace and joy in his heart. God wants to give his mind freshness, the Word of God, the going inside, the Spirit connected with God Almighty. God does not faint and grow weary. Wait upon God. He will renew your strength. He will be healed. This guy will be healed. He will be okay. He will. He will. He can endure everything. Can God endure everything? Yes, he can. Does he want us to grow up and be like him? Yes. Are you okay? All right. It's harder to be sad than it is to be happy. Okay. So now here comes, lift up the hands that hang down. Okay. You're getting stronger. Strengthen your weak knee. Make straight paths for your feet. Verse 13. Make straight paths. You can keep walking now. Not like that. You're going to be healed. Make straight paths. Now just walk over there and come on, go back to your seat. Make straight paths for your feet so that when that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Do you see that in verse 13? Rather be healed. He got healed. He got healed. He got healed. He got healed. Did you see that? He got healed. I read one of our pastors told us. He said, I have a woman in my church. She's lost two husbands to cancer. Her daughter's got cancer. She she's poor. She cleans houses. She's like in her 70s. I mean, her life has been filled with a lot of trouble. But he said, you would never know it. She is filled with the Spirit. She is serving. She is loving. I think, how could that happen? Couldn't God do that? Couldn't God fill her? Couldn't God give her a new life? Couldn't God restore her? Yes. So strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We can just finish there. It's another message, but there it is. Okay. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Pastor Eugene, you get the reward for the best part of the message. It was the best part.
Amen.
Okay. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Yeah, I do. That's what's going to happen in your relationship with God. You get healed and blessed. He does that. He does. Lord, for all of us today, well, the fellowship of saints that have not quit, a fellowship of believers that are walking and making straight paths and being healed as they walk. It's almost like getting on a horizontal walkway in the airport that's moving, and you get on that path and it's going to take you. You're going to be okay. You're going to finish your course with joy. You're going to be all right. And Lord, we pray that we could know you better, walk with you closer, be very close with you in our lives always, and do this work of grace and grow in your grace and give grace and more grace and greater grace to the humble. Greater grace. Thank you, Lord, giving us more of what we need. Thank you, God. And believe in Jesus Christ today. And say, anyone listening, just say to Jesus, come into my life. I want to walk with you. I'm going to give you my whole thing, my whole life. I'm going to trust you with my life. Teach me. First you save me, and then I begin to understand who you are, what you did. Fill me with your spirit and lead me with hunger. Hunger. In Christ's name. Amen.